Good morning. Welcome to the Henry Aiden Show here with Robin Davis, WWPR, 1490 AM. Jim Delgado in the studio, where you have the power to have your voice heard, the power to inform, to become informed from local to global on the issues you care about most on your hometown morning talk show, wherever your hometown may be. Well, Jim and Robin, President Obama went to the Vietnam Memorial yesterday and spoke, as presidents speak on Memorial Day. And he's already taking grief for it.
Why? Because why is a Kenyan doing at the Vietnam Memorial?
Charles Krauthammer said he went there to do penance for penance. The way Vietnam War vets were treated.
He went there to do penance.
Yes, for President Obama, because, of course, you know, he was the one that mistreated all those Vietnam vets.
He's just, what, 2 years, 3 years older than me? How is he doing penance? Did he not change his diapers on time?
Let's just hear what he has to say.
These 600 acres are home to Americans from every part of the country who gave their lives in every corner of the globe. When a revolution needed to be waged and a union needed to be saved, they left their homes and took up arms for the sake of an idea. From the jungles of Vietnam to the mountains of Afghanistan, they stepped forward and answered the call. They fought for a home they might never return to. They fought for buddies they would never forget. And while their stories may be separated by hundreds of years and thousands of miles, they rest here, together, side by side, row by row, because each of them loved this country and everything it stands for more than life itself. And this Memorial Day, we mark another milestone. For the first time in 9 years, Americans are not fighting and dying in Iraq. We are winding down the war in Afghanistan, and our troops will continue to come home. As president, I have no higher honor and no greater responsibility than serving as commander-in-chief of the greatest military the world has ever known.
How could he disrespect the troops like that, Jim?
How could he disrespect them by respecting them? Bad guy. He's just, whatever he does is bad. Really? I mean, what did Krauthammer say about that? What was wrong with that? The fact that he spoke as President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief?
Well, I don't have the whole video audio here of it, but he goes, quote, essentially doing penance for the way Vietnam vets were treated. It helps explain the huge gap between Republicans, whether it's Romney or whomever.
I don't get I just don't.
Well, President Romney, nominee Romney managed to... of course, President Obama was taking credit for the wind down of the Iraq War in that segment, too.
Which is already going, it was already happening before he got in office, true.
And but Mitt Romney was taking advantage to say how we just have cut the military and we need to beef it up, back up.
So he wasn't doing penance, he was doing the right thing.
All right. Well,
interesting.
And other news.
Well, both of them used Memorial Day as an excuse to campaign, so it is a little gross, but... Romney was worse. I don't know if you guys heard his comments, but he talked about how we can't reduce the size of the military. He took Memorial Day as an opportunity to discuss how we can't reduce the military, and that, to me, was a lot more... I didn't think Obama... He was toeing the line. Romney went... What line? Right. Went way past it.
Strange self-serving in a campaign speech.
There you go. I mean, everything's a campaign speech. I mean, I think the day after you get in office, or probably that afternoon, you start campaigning for the next one. But, I mean...
Which is... why we need campaign reform. Our president shouldn't be spending all of his time campaigning. He should be, I don't know, busy running the country or something.
Well, I think they could do both at the same time. I think what it is, Robin, I think is the influx of money. I think it's the fact that what you're always ready for is the next campaign. You know, they have different departments, and I think they could do it at the same time. I just think it, you know, for somebody who is regularly on a regular basis asked for campaign contributions, I mean, there isn't any downtime anymore. You know, there used to be like about a year of downtime in between.
When was that?
Yeah, well, when I first started, it seemed like there was a year. I mean, I'm asking for money.
Richard Nixon started working on 1972.
Well, Richard
took office.
Richard Nixon changed a lot of things in politics, you know, good and bad. Fox News was his idea, you know. He told them, we need a news station.
If we could get the money out of politics, they'd be forced to run on their positions and who they are rather than how many rich friends or companies they have in their pocket.
Or is it England that only does it for like a month? Who is it?
The different European countries have...
They have limits.
Different
right.
limits.
You can only
like
raise
that.
Funds and campaign for... And that might be, you know, maybe getting the money out of politics is kind of a pipe dream, but there has to be a way. The way the system runs right now is just atrocious.
Right. Oh, I agree. And I think and the people's feelings show it. Those that pay attention. Others just don't care.
You can't get the money out.
I think it's
too late. Look at the media. I mean, how much is the media buy now?
Just a lot of money.
Just for Florida.
Yeah. That's their own little stimulus package right there.
Well, and if Rick Scott, you know, pulls a Catherine Harris for this year's election, we could be in a lot of trouble.
He's already starting.
He's working on it.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, and it looks like it's back in the news today, and it's going to be back in the news until the election.
I wonder if he's already angling for a VP nominee. He wouldn't have to drop out of being the governor.
And he's already married. Sorry.
Yeah, that was...
Unfair
well,
dig.
So. Well, you know what, though? Unfair, and I love Charlie Crist, but that did not play well. It played like a campaign stunt, and with all due respect to him and his wife, the timing of it just... You know, with the rumors that he was gay, the timing was bad.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Have you had a good tuna sandwich lately, Jim?
Yes, Henry. I have had a good tuna sandwich. Wait. You got to tell me something's wrong with my tuna?
I don't know about your tuna.
Because the mercury's not bad enough.
Oh, God.
Maybe you didn't have a bluefin tuna. But the mighty bluefin tuna, I didn't... Know how mighty they are, but they're big. Carried radioactive contamination that leaked from Japan's crippled nuclear plant to the shores of the United States, 6,000 miles away. First time a huge migrating fish has been known to carry radioactive activity such a distance. Well, I don't know when was the last time we had a radioactive accident on the other side of the Pacific. I don't think we were measuring for Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
Right.
We're frankly kind of startled, said Nicholas Fisher, one of the researchers reporting the findings online Monday in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The levels of radioactive cesium were 10 times higher than the amount measured in tuna off the California coast in previous years. But even so, it's still far below safety limits. So nothing to worry about, set by U.S. and Japanese governments, conveniently. Previously, smaller fish and plankton were found with elevated levels of radiation in Japanese waters after the Fukushima Daiichi March 2011 disaster. But it probably makes it easier to fish for them. You know, you just have a little Geiger counter and, yeah.
It probably expects why I have, it makes sense now why I have these superpowers all of a sudden. You know, I flew over the beach the other day without wings, so that explains it. Great. Radioactive fish. What's next?
Well,
I like the last sentence, actually. But scientists did not expect the nuclear fallout to linger in huge fish that sail the world because such fish can metabolize and shred radioactive substances.
As long as it's not mercury.
Wow.
I think it falls into the, well, I guess we got to die of something. I mean,
yeah.
It's almost like you can't escape it anymore.
Right. I mean, you know, so you eat, you know... What is that, the chicken, free-range chicken, free-range... But what does it matter? You still have to go home.
They're still drinking the radioactive water and eating the radioactive grass.
Right, right. That's what I say. You know what? It's going to take a few years. It is what it is. So
it's a smaller tuna that is recommended to eat.
Well, there's a whole bunch of different types of tuna.
Yeah.
If you like frog, you know, being in the South, frog legs.
Like frog legs.
Tennessee radioactive frogs.
No
joke.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that the other day.
What it is they feed off of the ponds that have waste from Oak Ridge National Laboratories. And there was problems with deer in the area, too, for a while. If you were hunting, you could hunt, but you had to call the game commissioner, whatever they call it in Tennessee, and they had to come out and check the radiation level in your deer, which what scared me is this did not slow people down on the hunting.
No?
There's okay. people in Oak Ridge. I mean, because there's actually not just Oak Ridge National Laboratory. There's the town of Oak Ridge.
Well, it's probably what they live, right? I mean,
the people who live in Oak Ridge, they drink the water, they eat the deer. Like, it's like...
I don't think they have a choice. Though,
I move.
Is it rural? Rural?
It's not rural, I mean, but it's not a huge city. It's a, you know, mid-size, smaller area. And it is kind of a smaller, it would be more rural area. But, like, you know, I worked with people who lived in Oak Ridge, and they're like, there's nothing wrong with the water. And I'm like, bottled water. If there was ever an argument for drinking bottled water, it's your neighborhood. And then when you're done, sell your house. And they're like, nah, it's no big deal. And then there's stories constantly about these frogs and the deer and the bad groundwater.
Have they developed any cancer cells or cancer clusters?
They do.
Anybody looking into it?
I don't have it right in front of me. I'm not sure if anybody is, but I do know that there has. I have seen stories, especially when we lived up there, that there's cancer. But it's funny, the people who live there kind of live with blinders on, like they don't want to know.
And it's their home.
And a lot of them have been there for generations and generations, and actually a lot of them are the families of the people who were part of the original secret city, so they have a history there, but they don't want to admit to it yet. Like, some of the other cities have fessed up and, filed, you know, opened their eyes and filed lawsuits and looked into research. Oak Ridge is still kind of what's a hot frog or two?
And those lawsuits are almost impossible. Even if you succeed, you still lose.
Do you really think that the water Zephyr Hills, Nestle's, pulls out of the aquifer is cleaner than what is treated at the Manatee County water?
Absolutely not. But they're convenient to buy, though.
I know where Deer Park comes from, and I will say that I would drink Deer Park before I would drink water in the state of Tennessee. I've been to Hoffman Springs. It's up in the mountains near where I grew up.
Nice.
We don't have radioactive frogs. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's certainly better than, you know, water from areas near these nuclear plants.
We live too long anyway.
Hey, whatever happened to the thing about generals that sort of keep their mouth shut?
Is that true?
Well, I don't know. This Army General Neil Toley, no pun intended, a little bit of a bombshell.
What do you say?
Well, he's the commander of U.S. Special Operation Forces in South Korea, and he told an audience right here in our backyard in Tampa that U.S. and South Korean forces have been sent into North Korea to spy on the country's vast collection of underground tunnels and military installations. The extraordinary mission, which went unreported by the U.S. media, this was actually from the Daily Caller, that's Tucker Carlson's website, came on May 22nd during the Special Operations Forces Industry Conference. We didn't get our invitation to that.
I guess it's one of those things that we all knew, we all suspected, but nobody really talks about.
Said his command has identified 20 airfields and 180 munition factories that are partially underground, along with thousands of subterranean artillery positions.
Now, the 20 airfields they're talking about, is that in North Korea?
Yeah.
Wow, 20?
It's 180 munition factories that are underground that you wonder how big an operation that takes to find all that stuff out.
Wow. I know we dig a lot of tunnels and carve a lot of mountains.
We go wherever we want, but...
Well, there's no doubt about that.
But why?
What's the point of spying if you're going to tell everybody you did it?
That's what I'm kind of trying to get at. I guess, does everybody know the game?
It's not really special ops anymore once you've announced it to the news.
Well, now you force North Korea into, you know, not retaliating, but to take a posture in opposition to it all and make it a bigger deal than it is.
You never know what's intelligence, though. You never really know. My dad once told me if it's out there, that means everybody knows.
Yeah, but they're not telling you. You got to worry about it.
Exactly.
Well, they know, but you're making it a public issue.
Right. So they can do it publicly and get back. I see what you're saying.
And, of course, Leon Panetta, much the same. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says the Pentagon has ready plans to carry out a military strike on Iran if diplomacy fails in the dispute over the Islamic Republic's nuclear program. The fundamental premise is that neither the United States or the international community is going to allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon and then et cetera. Iran says that according to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, all signatories have the right to use nuclear energy. They're up to 145 kilograms of the 20% enriched uranium. The negotiations continue in public, or rather in a public setting, with the six power talks, but President Barack Obama has been conducting back-channel negotiations, also much to Benjamin Netanyahu's chagrin about what President Obama is ready to go to. Yeah. But in similar situation, in a similar related situation, we just tomorrow we complete a exercise with Saudis and Qataris that simulated 30,000 troops making landings in similar situations to Iran and Syria. And Russia, after the Al-Haqqa, if I can't say that word quite right, 3,000 U.S. troops. Jordanians participated also. A joint exercise getting ready for a strike on Syria. And Russia had sent a boatload, a ship of weapons to Syria. Of course, they've been supplying them.
Right.
North Korea has a ship on its way there right now. Somehow German weapons have shown up in Syria.
German weapons in Syria?
First time German weapons have been found in the Middle East since 67 years ago, World War II.
That's odd.
Well, it isn't odd if the embargo is getting tougher and tougher to beat, and Syria has less and less foreign capital. In fact, it's getting to the point that they don't have money to buy the food. And some of the Golan Heights, where the Syrian troops face off with Israelis, deserted their post, deserted the bases, because Assad had to divert food to the units that were fighting in there. But anyway, Russia had been supplying them. And then after this massacre of whatever it was, 109 people,
right,
30 children, 40 women, something like that, they said, you know, this is starting to get to be bad PR for us. And so the ship that had docked in Syria, ready to offload more weaponry, got orders to pull back into the Mediterranean.
Really?
And wait to see what happens.
You know, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So who's supplying them now?
Well, they have what they have.
And, I mean, in terms of food, who's supplying the food?
I guess wherever they can buy it on the market.
Wow.
They're selling off their gold. Assad is selling off gold. He's using everything he can.
I guess the question is, how long can they last?
Well, probably until Russia, you know, picks their new patron and says.
But that tells me then there's some secret back. There's some deals then being made between Russia and the United States then.
Well, there's been contact, and again, that's something that Israel doesn't like. But the point is, if they can take the Syrian chess piece off the board, then that makes Iran even more negotiable.
Well, it leaves them pretty isolated.
And
they're already isolated enough.
Yeah, I mean, they have the naval base that they're able to use in Syria, but if that's gone, they got Lebanon, that's about it.
And it seems Iran has been at the table, though, for a while now. I mean, it seems good news, everything I hear. I don't know. Maybe that's just what I hear. I mean, it seems they're making some progress there. I mean, they're suffering, too. It's not like they can go into a war.
Well, for somebody that is supposedly, you know, so competent as Putin, it's very unusual for him to about-face in such a short period of time. And the foreign minister had to reverse course on all the statements they were making.
That tells me there's something going on that we don't know about him.
Huh?
Some super secret stuff going on there, Henry.
Yes, there is.
Maybe Robin knows. Maybe they told her from the Occupy secrets.
They totally called me. I get all the memos.
I can't tell.
If I told you, I'd have to kill you, Jim.
That sucks.
We got somebody on the air. Caller, your life.
Hey, good morning, guys. Nick in St. Pete. Since you brought up Putin, I'd like to throw in my two cents. Putin's the only thing standing between us and world jewelry. The international Zionist banks that run this world, and I, for one, am so...
Sorry, but that's... Nick, you're crossing into territory that we're not going to put on the air.
You could have said that in a different way and meant the same thing.
Possibly, but,
a little more.
That was teetering into a territory I'm not comfortable with. You know, if you're going to put things out there in a racist way, I'm sorry, I'm not going to keep it on the air.
And what's funny is, there's a big segment of the Israeli population that does not agree with Benjamin Netanyahu. You know, they're not all conservative.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's people there that are fighting, but...
It's like lumping any group into you can't put people in a little box. Just because someone shares a nationality or a skin color or a gender or a sexual or whatever, you know, conservative, liberal, you can't put people in boxes. It doesn't work. They don't fit. It's like square peg, round hole.
And it's one of those issues that, you know, people having babies is going to solve that problem soon enough. I mean, what's it going to look like in 30 years? You know, the majority is going to be Palestinian.
There is an international banking cartel.
Oh, tell me about this.
Now, J.P. Morgan was not Jewish, but he controlled the banks and the related banks in the U.S. The Rothschilds controlled the banks in Europe. The IMF and the World Bank sit above everything else, controlling currencies and economic policy. So where I'm not going to go where Nick was, the banks, the Western banks and the Japanese banks control the world. Russia has consolidated a different economic system. The Organization for, I'm forgetting the acronym right now, but China, Russia, Pakistan, India, they have formed an alternative monetary fiscal kind of organization. The South America has formed a similar thing. There is a move in a conflict on the global scale on how to control the world's economy and the world's currencies. So, you know, although Nick had an unfortunate turn of phrase, there is a conflict going on for control of the economic system.
There's a big difference between talking about, I mean, like, yeah, money rules the world. We all know that, and there's a million different theories and a million different ways to look at it. But when you get into the nonsense about, what is it, the six Jewish bankers who rule the world, I mean, come on. What decade is this? Read a book.
And not to mention, you go outside the U.S. and they talk like that about us. So.
Yeah. I got before we go to break, I got a couple of announcements, some events coming up in the area. One we've mentioned before, Congressman Grayson is going to be at the Marriott in St. Petersburg next Tuesday, 1 week from today, June 5th, 7 p.m. It's 12600 Roosevelt Boulevard in St. Pete. He's going to be talking about voter suppression. Could not be more topical in light of Governor Scott's recent actions. Today at noon, Rescue My Future with David Johansson and Costa Rica Charlie will be here on WWPR, noon to 1. Please tune in.
Charlie's in town?
Charlie is in Costa Rica, but he'll be Costa Rica. Charlie's in Costa Rica, go figure, with his wife and Charlito, which is little Charlie, his son. But he'll be calling in for part of the show. And just got news of this last night. Today at 12:15, Vern Buchanan is holding one of his, he has like these stealth town halls that he doesn't announce during business hours so nobody can actually come. But somebody got wind of it. 12:15 today at the Kiwanis Club in West Bradenton, 1401 21st Avenue. Again, Kiwanis Club, 1401 21st Avenue in West Bradenton, 1215 today. Vern Buchanan's holding a town hall. So if you got anything you would like Mr. Buchanan to know, this is a great opportunity for you to show up and enlighten him on what his constituents actually think.
Before we leave the Syria thing, since we don't want to disconnect here and we'll go a different direction after the break, BBC uses fake photo for Hula massacre. The British state-run broadcaster BBC has been caught passing off an old photo from Iraq in 2003 for the massacre in the Syrian town of Hula. In a report published hours after the massacre, the network used an old photo of dead Iraqi children taking an al-Musayyib, which was first published 9 years ago, and presented as a photo of victims of a recent massacre of civilians in the town of Hula in western Syria, and that is reported by the London Telegraph. The original photographer identified it.
All right, and we're going to go to a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The Village of the Arts, located just south of downtown Bradenton, is home to Florida's largest and most vibrant community of artists. There's always something exciting going on, and you can find out more at villageofthearts.com or thevillagemagazine.net. Better yet, stop by in person and check out these featured artisans.
Arts and Eats Restaurant and Gallery will open this summer. It will feature Chef Jim Kopening's freshly made gourmet food and Donna Slosky's broken china mosaic.
The Manatee County Cultural Alliance is your nonprofit information center for the arts. We are home to two galleries, educational opportunities, and a variety of events.
In the Village Mystic, for all things metaphysical, unique jewelry, music, crystals, incense, intuitive readers, master healers, classes, workshops, and much more.
BMI Media Group is a creative marketing design firm powered by art. Whether it be branding or marketing, a new website, or logo, BMI Media Group has something special for you.
The Dancing Crane Gallery of Fine Art. Original paintings, prints, and art-inspired gifts.
Having a second home in a peaceful tropical environment with a low cost of living and a lifestyle you can enjoy doesn't have to mean kissing your investment dollars goodbye. Costa Rican real estate continues to appreciate in a stable democracy friendly to American investors. Add something secure and beautiful to your portfolio. It's not as complicated as you may have thought. The Costa Rican expert will be right here on this station Tuesdays at noon, or you can learn more now at rescuemyfuture.com. That's RescueMyFuture.com.
The Village of the Arts, located just south of downtown Bradenton, is home to Florida's largest and most vibrant community of artists. There's always something exciting going on, and you can find out more at villageofthearts.com or thevillagemagazine.net. Better yet, stop by in person and check out these featured artisans.
Hi, this is Lorraine from Down's Dining House. Join us for lunch daily, Friday tea nights, and Saturday homestyle dinners.
Village Voices focuses on the literary arts, carrying books written by Florida authors only. It's headquarters for the Florida Writers Association. We offer office services from writing, editing, and publishing.
FA Unique Photography Gallery. Classes and workshops, commercial photography and graphic design, and monthly exhibitions by featured photographers from Florida and beyond.
Hi, this is Karen Klosky from Six Oaks, a salon-style gallery in the South Village. Come join us for one of our jam sessions under the oaks in the backyard.
Henry Rain Show, WWPR, 1490 AM. Robin Davis, Jim Delgado in studio. Send your emails to henryrainshow@gmail.com or to robin@henryrainshow@gmail.com. Station website, 1490wwpr.com. Get that live audio stream wherever you want. Podcast on demand at henryrainshow.podomatic.com. And also by midday is available at the homepage of the BradentonTimes.com. Replayed Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. nettalkworld.us. Follow the show on Twitter, at Henry Rain Show, facebook.com/Henry Rain Show. You can get the audio there also. But what else do we forget? The Stitcher stuff.
Our friend Matt at FA Gallery has got us up on Stitcher, and you can find the Henry Rain Show going all the way back to, I believe, about 2010 in the iTunes store.
All right.
How cool are we? We made it into
We're
iTunes.
Official.
We're
Look
like... Either that or just proves that anybody can get onto iTunes. I don't know. I don't know how hard it was. Matt just took it upon himself to hook us up for his own convenience because he can't listen live and he likes to download and listen on his phone. He's kind of like Podcast Peter, but even more proactive.
Would you say that it sound on Stitcher?
Same as it sounds everywhere else.
Yeah.
Well,
just a different place to get the podcast.
I mean, it's just coming through one speaker on your phone, right?
No, you can listen to it on your phone or your iPad or online, just the same as you can listen to the Podomatic stuff.
Henry, you learn something every day.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, when you're listening on with your desktop, you know, or you put your headset into the laptop, you know, you're getting it. It's a mono recording, but you're getting it on two channels. And so, I mean, are you listening it on your earbuds through your phone, or does it come through like your phone as you're listening to somebody talk to you on your phone?
Either way.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like the podcast from Podomatic. You know, you play it on the device and how you want to listen to it. So some people might use headsets. Some people might put it over their car stereo. Some people might just listen to it on the speaker on the phone or on their computer or on their stereo. Like, I can hook my phone up to my stereo in my house and listen to stuff over my stereo speakers,
right,
which I assure you, the tech geek, Mr. Davis, those are some serious speakers. So everything sounds good there. Over the phone, it's a little tinny. You know, it just depends on what your format is.
Is that an iPhone?
Yes.
Oh, I think he's got that gadget that my son wants me to buy. We can hook it up, and there's some little gadget.
Like a cord.
Like a...
We have a...
I know there's a little gadget that you can put, and it can stream it through, but I'm not sure. I haven't purchased it yet.
Oh, he's going to kill me for not knowing this, but we have the sound, you know, where there's all the different channels, like for the DVD player or the TV or the whatever, and there's a cord connected that I just plug it into the headphone thing. So if your son is really that serious, my husband can probably tell you how to do it pretty cheap.
Nice.
I think it's just a cord. And we have a caller. Hold on one second here. Caller, you're live on the air.
Good morning, Henry. Henry.
Hello, Lawrence.
I'd like to agree with your last caller. I'd like to divulge a secret that most people suspect, but I can now come out and tell you. The Jews do run the world.
We have another caller who's live on the air now.
I resent your stereotyping my remark, but it's an HDMI cable. Goodbye.
Just a regular HDMI cable?
HDMI is a word, and I'm trying to remember what the piece of equipment it plugs into. And if Mr. Davis, if you're listening now, would be the time for a text.
Text me, honey.
I can't remember that thing that the cord plugs into. But, yeah, it is an HDMI cable because there's different HDMI settings, but it's the... He's going to kill me. Yeah. 10 years together, and I still don't know what that man does.
I have a question out there, not related to anything news. Might as well. Anybody know where to buy good snorkeling gear?
Well, that you could call us at 941-745-1490 and tell us. 941-745-1490.
Save me some time. I haven't bought snorkeling gear in almost 20 years.
And, there is. I can't recommend them one way or the other, but I do know there's a big store down on Manatee Avenue, right?
Scuba Quest.
Scuba
Quest. Yeah. I just want to know if that's the best place to get it.
I know Mr. Davis can tell you the brands, but I'm not sure if he's up on the stores in Manatee County.
Like I said, I haven't actively shopped for anything like that in 20 years. I'm sure things have changed.
just a little.
Just a little.
I'm pretty sure there's still like a tube in it. You know, if you're going, if you scoop it in a tank and
right,
there's a mask.
Right. I don't know how many valves they have. I think they call them like dry snorkels.
Of course, if you're over around Fukushima, you don't even need the fins anymore you're getting webbed feet.
You don't need the fins. You don't need the HD mask. You don't need a flashlight. Everything's just kind of lit up, you know.
This next story, there's some Florida stuff we need to get into.
All right.
But when I first read it, I was like, oh, this is just Pakistan propaganda. But it turns out it's a Reuters story. The CIA Pakistan doctor accused of sexual assault and stealing. And who is this doctor? Well, he came to Abbottabad to carry out the vaccination campaign, apparently the CIA's behest. The CIA created this front operation of vaccinations to try and find Osama bin Laden. The doctor who helped CIA find Osama bin Laden faced accusations of corruption and other wrongdoing long before he was captured by Pakistani intelligence agents and then jailed for 33 years for treason. In interviews over the weekend, several current and former Pakistani officials described the doctor, Shakil Afridi, as a hard-drinking womanizer, which is an interesting hobby for a Muslim, who had faced accusations of sexual assault, harassment, and stealing. Imagine that he would be on the CIA payroll. They said his main obsession was making easy money.
Wow, that's capitalist.
He's a capitalist. What's wrong with that?
According to a 2002 Pakistan Health Department document seen by Reuters, Afridi was deemed to be corrupt and unreliable and unfit for government service. So, 2002.
Is that before or after they used them?
No, 2002. I mean, that was the health department stuff.
We said.
And you know how rigid and conscientious Pakistani health departments are going to be. just not reading the stories, but just setting off a few headlines here. Iraq's set to auction new oil and gas blocks. It's amazing that few of the U.S.
What does that mean? I hear this all the time.
Opening up new,
what does that mean?
New gas exploration blocks, new areas for exploration. They have a lot of undeveloped oil there.
Okay. Untapped oil, basically.
But the interesting thing is, you know, our soldiers went and died, and the U.S. companies aren't even they're in the pipeline because there's 47 energy companies that are competing. But the majors, British Petroleum and the Russian company Gazprom, are expected to get 29 trillion cubic feet of gas, 10 million barrels of oil. Russia's current reserve are 143 billion barrels.
At least we can bring some of that crude home with us.
Well, I'll go on the market.
Yeah, no.
You like pack it in our carry-ons?
What's that?
You like put it in like 3-ounce containers in our carry-ons, right?
There's a whole ton of it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. As long as it's under 3 ounces, it's
if nice. You can carry bologna, you can carry oil. That's what
hey,
I say.
Hey, you know, I got to visit this. I know he did. I got support from the listeners about Lebanon bologna.
I saw it. Apparently, that bologna is something else because there was some hits on bologna.
Seriously? Lebanon bologna was the most popular thing I got comments on from yesterday's story. Just goes to show what our listeners are paying attention to.
I get it. Bologna. I can't wait to taste some. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Pennsylvania, a great bologna that people go out of their way for.
I may bring you the stinky seltzer stuff because you won't know the difference.
No, I don't want any stinky.
And then I'll bring you the good stuff when I go up to Pennsylvania. Or next time, you know, Dennis Malley from the Bradenton Times goes home a lot more than I do. So, Dennis, if you're listening, you know, bring bologna.
All right.
On your next trip, bring Lebanon. Dennis is like, what the?
I'll let that one go. That's way too easy.
I can believe it tastes better, but I can't believe that the way it's made is any more less
Henry,
disgusting.
I went on the website. There's internet bologna. Literally, you can order
on the internet. There's internet bologna all over the place.
You can have like a whole
I saw that.
3 foot long, like, I don't even know what they call it. It's not a stick. It's like a, you know, a full, I don't know, what do you call that?
Well,
stick
it looks
of
like,
bologna?
You know, they used to have government cheese. It looks like government bologna. It's just a big old slab. I mean, these things
no.
are huge.
Have you heard of that show Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie did? The,
yes, I do.
When they
yeah,
went
yeah.
around and did stuff, and they worked in the sausage plant. And as, you know, reality TV is really scripted, so
yeah.
I don't know how spontaneous this was or how much the family wasn't in on it. When they put the dog food in the bologna skin and fed it to the family they were staying with.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, they're such classy chicks.
Quickly, two U.S.-led soldiers killed in an Afghanistan helicopter crash. What makes this very unusual, just a day later, another helicopter went down. And you have to wonder if all that surface-to-air missiles that are on the black market from Libya aren't finding their way into Afghanistan.
You know, Henry, a friend of mine, his nephew, went to Afghanistan about 2 weeks ago. You know, it started me thinking, can you imagine sitting at home, your son or your daughter's in Afghanistan, and every time you hear a story, you start to wonder, is that my son's or my daughter's? You know, how close that is my son or daughter? Is that my son? And then the wait between the time you hear the news and the time you either Skype with them, email with them, I mean, whatever. I know they're using new technology, and now they have access to video chats, I guess, now they're doing for the soldiers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like the old days when you might not hear from your soldier for months on
right.
end. Now they
right.
can Skype and, right. and you know, and Facebook and
right.
things. From the field, so the families hear from them a lot more often.
But can you imagine the wait from the time you hear the incident, go through a whole day of work and whatever you have to do until you finally hear from your son or daughter? That's got to be just, something popped in my mind the other day because, you know, Don's nephew went, and I'm just thinking, how terrible. And the family's like that. They're glued to the radio or newspapers or TV, and they always look for, you know, what happened, and then they're just waiting for the phone call.
Well,
what a terrible feeling.
There was an incident recently where a soldier was killed overseas, and his wife got a call directly from another soldier, I believe it was in Afghanistan, Facebook messaged the wife and said, you need to call us. And these two soldiers took it upon themselves to tell the wife her husband was dead and circumvented the proper channels. And that was a big...
Did they get in trouble?
Big time. Big time. Because,
that sucks.
You know, as much as it stinks that you get that... You know, the officer coming to your door, there's a reason they come to your door and they tell you in person.
Right.
You don't find out over a phone call from somebody who's not trained in how to properly handle telling someone this has happened. And I mean, because the minute they show up at their door, they know.
Right.
But they're there to provide support. And, so there's also some challenges to the fact that the soldiers are in more communication. And I don't know if you remember back in the 80s when the Marine chopper went down overseas and there was, 20 or 30 people killed.
Yeah.
I know the mother... of a Marine who was stationed there at the time, and she can still tell you like it was yesterday. And that was 20-some years ago. He's in his 40s and home and safe and secure. And she can talk about that story about those couple of days till she was able to hear from him like it was yesterday. It is so vivid and so painful, you know, thinking that he might have been. It was like where he was, his unit. I mean, it was actually, he was in the other chopper that didn't go down.
I remember, you know, what my dad used to do was tape. What they used to do with us was, when my dad was in Vietnam, they used to, record us, tape us, and then send the tape,
mm-hmm.
and then wait for my dad to record something and send it back. And, you know, we used to sit around for hours listening to these tapes. But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I used to see my mom, you know, sitting in the living room at the bottom, you know, with the lamp on, just crying her eyes out. And you never understood as a child, and you get older, you realize, wow, man. I mean, you know, and that's what started me thinking. Yes, it was Memorial Day, obviously Memorial Day, you know, and you're hearing these stories and these parents talking about their sons and their daughters and, you know, what kind of great person they were. And then, you know, you start thinking, here we are, you know, we're in the water, we're celebrating, you know, we're having great cookouts. And
I've been meaning that. I meant to ask you yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, I know to celebrate President's Day, we're supposed to go buy a mattress. But I was trying to figure out from the newspaper yesterday what we're supposed to buy on sale to honor the fallen.
Now, huge appliances?
I'm thinking it was the autos, rooms of furniture. So I'm thinking, you know,
let's go cars. They're a lot bigger. You know what?
It's better for the economy.
I think it's the cars. Yeah. Celebrate your dead one by buying a Chevy. Because they're made here. Well, not really, but we think they are.
What are we supposed to buy on Veterans Day?
Hmm.
supposed to help a veteran find a job.
Linens? Is it linens or is that?
God only knows.
No, that's too cheap. Too cheap.
The people who were running around Facebook and, you know, on the phones here yesterday and happy Veterans Day or Memorial Day. And I'm like,
I know.
You really don't know what, like, it's become such a beginning of summer barbecue that, like, people I think have lost the meaning. And there was a cartoon yesterday and it was showing, like, off ramps off an interstate. And it was the mall, the beach, barbecue, and all the traffic's there. And then it says, military cemetery.
Right.
And, you know, two cars. You know, one. Yeah. And it was like two cars. And they were making the point that, you know, many, many people have lost the point about what this is supposed to be about.
A friend of mine posted something very similar to that. He's a vet just like I am. Of course, we got lucky. We didn't have to go any wars. And he posted an educational one about this is not Veterans Day, folks. This is Memorial Day. And then he went on to give the reasons for Memorial Day, you know. But it was interesting that everybody just kept on thanking vets. And I was like, man, this is just... We talked about it yesterday. It just drives me nuts.
I did the same thing, and I got a little cranky, and I did get one response from my friend Val, not Radio Val, different Val. And she said, you know, I've been wanting to say that all day, and I was afraid to offend somebody. And I said, understood, but it's not offensive. You can't let this... You can't forget the people who laid down their life in service and cover it up with sales and barbecues and thanking veterans. And with all due respect to our veterans, you get your own day in November.
Yeah. It was a melancholy day for me. I just always start thinking about the friends of mine. My father came back from Vietnam. Some friends of mine, their father didn't come back from Vietnam. And you just start thinking about them. You know, you start thinking, wow, you know.
Well, our ally Italy bought something to celebrate Memorial Day.
Did they buy a large appliance? I'm just betting on the large appliance.
You could call it a large appliance. The Obama administration plans to arm Italy's fleet of Reaper drone aircraft, a move that could open the door for sales of advanced hunter-killer drone technology to other allies, according to lawmakers and others familiar with the matter. The sale would make Italy the first foreign country besides Britain to fly U.S. drones with armed missiles and laser-guided bombs. And U.S. officials said Italy intends to initially deploy the armed drones in Afghanistan. Every country
drones are in.
Is it like the size of a drones toaster, or are we talking washer dryer?
No, the size of a missile.
It depends.
It's got laser guided bombs and missiles. It's about the size of a plane.
It depends on what type of drone you're talking about. If it's carrying weapons on it, it's like a small. Well, not really a small plane, but a small jet plane.
If it's called the Reaper, it's probably pretty decent size.
If it's Reaper, it probably can carry some serious ammunition.
It's got a cool name. I'm not going to take that away from it.
And there's drones that look like planes. You know, and there's like, I mean, there's different types of drones.
I
want to
see the ones with the nuclear power that they're building.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to have nuclear
powered
active drones.
I mean, not literally active, but are they active?
Well, they're building them.
Who's building them? Do you know?
The U.S.
Who's the contractor?
Well, I don't know. McDonnell Douglas or Boeing or somebody. Yeah. You know, one of those. Raytheon.
I wonder if I have some friends that work on those, you know. Because out of the military, we used to get hired. I mean, I remember getting a phone call, I think it was from Boeing, my last few weeks, because they used to hire us right out of the military. And offer me a job in California. I said no. Thank God I said no. You know, I would have been looking for a job every 3 years. You know, I talked to my mom. She said no. No, every 3 or 5 years, the contract. So you got to get another job. So
yeah, you're not actually hired, are you?
They contract you for a project, and then those projects usually go over budget, and they last long. And at that time, it was the B-2. The B-2 piece of crap, by the way. That is the biggest piece of crap. It took, 20 years to finally make it work. And we're talking about 1950.
Yeah, but it looks impressive.
It does look impressive. But I had friends that were, it was the biggest piece of crap. They took everything they could think of, stuck it in a plane, and didn't think of how the equipment works with each other. I can't tell you how many we lost in the desert. But,
you know,
you lost them in the desert.
We lost a lot. Well, planes go down. That's part of the training process.
Right.
You know, it's not like a car. You know, a plane screws up, there's some major...
Well, that's like the drone. If you have a nuclear-powered submarine or a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier and something goes wrong, it's sort of there.
Right.
Yeah. If it goes wrong up in the air, it's coming down somewhere.
Exactly. And these training
pilots... payload.
And these training pilots, let me tell you, they're awesome. I mean, these are the guys that, for training purposes, shut everything down, land it. I mean, really, that's their task. All right, we want to know what happens if everything goes, you know... empty or goes blank, shut it down, land it.
So they're like the most hardcore of the hardcore.
Those test pilots are just, I mean, they are amazing. I mean, because they will have to land a plane that's not supposed to land without power.
Did I tell you that story about Ted Williams?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Yeah.
But just for the audience who didn't hear, Who was it? Who was the famous test pilot in the right side?
Chuck Yeager.
There you go. Yeah. Look at Robin with the Chuck Yeager.
This is the brain. Like this brain, useless factoid. So waste dump. I have like Chuck Yeager. Ask me like 80s lyrics.
Fought in both World War II and Korea, taking time out from his baseball career.
Right.
And Chuck Yeager said he was the best fighter pilot he had ever seen in his entire life. But moving back to Florida,
and that says, I mean, look. I work with pilots. They're some of the most pompous. And don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want to hang out with those guys. I think I've only met two fighter pilots that I actually liked, two of them. And the rest were just complete jerks. But there's a reason. I mean, these guys, I mean, they are pretty amazing at what they do. I just wouldn't want to be with them or be around them. But
special kind of people to do a job like that. That's tough.
They are different. I mean, the two-seaters is one thing. The guys that fly the one-seaters, because they're taking care of everything.
Yeah.
Not to mention what gravity's doing to you and everything, but their heads everywhere, their eyes are everywhere, their equipment's going pretty impressive.
Speaking of heads everywhere, eyes everywhere.
Eyes everywhere.
All eyes on Tampa for the Republican National Convention.
Yes. We're up, aren't we?
And it's not going to be quite the party that it usually is.
Henry, say it isn't so.
What will the strippers do?
Well, I'm sure there's still plenty for them. But the K Street lobbyists are cutting back on the blowout parties that they usually host for these things. They're going to hold lunches. I mean, how are you going to get favor with buying lunches?
Fiscal responsibility in the age of media knowing all?
No. What they're worried about is the Democratic convention has put strict rules on what they're going to allow. And they don't want to do two things. One, they don't want to alienate the Democrats in case they actually stay in power. And the other thing is that if they are too extravagant, they think that will make a bad press relations for when people see what goes on at the Democratic. So in fact, the Democratic convention isn't even allowing corporate contributions.
Really?
I don't know why they do that. I wouldn't.
I don't get it.
I'd have my hand out.
Why not? They've had it out forever. Why stop now?
Anyway, so they're going to try and maintain parity. Congressman James Davis said organizers have received hundreds of requests for official venues, but acknowledged things aren't what they used to be. The economy is in a bad place. While people want to have a presence, they are being more strategic. Well, Daryl Henry, a Republican convention planner affiliated with the convention, said several longtime convention goers on K Street are opting to stay away completely, going on family vacations. What kind of lobbyists go on family vacations, Jim? And
the smart ones who get somebody else to pay for it.
But there's a couple things you can put on your calendar. The Distilled Industry Spirits Council.
There we go.
We'll be there.
There you go.
And the Recording Industry Association of America are still going to underwrite some major events.
So you're going to have all the country stars come out.
And then
all the strip clubs are going to get extra girls.
So the country stars are coming to.
Oh, they're pretty they're pretty outspoken.
They are. They are. And the few who are not conservative, and a lot of them, I think, spin it. It's a selling point because their demographic is middle America, right. And they know to spin the conservatism.
And
the ones who are liberal keep their mouths shut mostly. Look what happened to the Dixie Chicks when they dared to open their mouth.
If you're country and you're liberal, you cannot really say it.
Natalie Maines learned the hard way.
Exactly. I get that.
And she bounced back, though, on the pop scene, and they went on to make more money and win more Grammys after they bucked the establishment than before.
Perks are going to be available, though. The U.S. Travel Association will distribute themed hotel key cards with travel facts. That was a Republican convention. All I got was this lousy hotel card.
Travel facts.
And finally,
where'd you get the best of?
Right now, the electoral map. By the way, this is all courtesy of Sunburn from Peter Schorsch. As far as states that look to be in one corner or the other, President Obama has 247 electoral votes, Romney 206. You need 270, of course. Seven states combined 85 electoral votes are too close to give a call. Colorado, Florida, Iowa, Nevada, New Hampshire, Ohio, and Virginia. Virginia is starting to look towards Obama, according to the latest polls. Florida.
Well, they went Obama last time.
Not so much.
They went Obama last time, no?
Well, we're waiting for Governor Scott to tell us who we're voting for.
And but Ohio, I would put that one in likely. You know, he's only got to pick up, what, 23 votes. So almost, well, Florida would put him over. Ohio would almost put him over.
Colorado is trending Republican now. I mean, excuse me, Democrat for the last year
so,
or more now.
Still a long way away, but it's going to be it's leaning Obama, to, as far as I can tell.
Well, I think he'll take Colorado, Virginia for sure, New Hampshire, and I think Ohio. I think Ohio and Florida, just as always,
as always, are going to be the battle.
Very quickly.
Yes.
Happy birthday to Marco Rubio yesterday.
Oh, it's his birthday.
Yeah. Yesterday.
And just to prove, we have very interactive listeners. I have answers from Mr. Davis for Jim Delgado.
Yes.
All the
what
part names. It's a piece of equipment I couldn't name is the receiver, the surround sound receiver.
Okay.
HDMI cable for high definition audio and video.
Right.
And an RMF transmitter for wireless. He's a total geek. And Dennis has also texted me and said, I'm from Kielbasa country. So, you know, he's not feeling the love for the Lebanon. We're gonna have to chat about that. I told him he's like a communist or something.
So
he has no answer to that, do you?
So Rubio is on a book tour, I hear. Selling baloney. I mean, his book.
That was a beautiful segue. Yeah. That was awesome. See the doors I opened for you with this random nonsense?
What's that book about? His whole life experience? I mean, what?
That was my question. He's my age. What does he have to write about yet?
Not like he suffered. Has he suffered?
The foreclosure in the panhandle,
the investigation,
the Republican credit card he was using. He's got lots of stuff to
talk
about.
The guy's got a lot of, you know.
He thinks he's like all special, you know, he's an immigrant, you know. Oh, wait, that was a lie.
Yeah.
So once you take away that colorful story, what do you got? Nothing. You got a punk from Miami.
Yeah, I mean, you know. That's like me writing my story. I mean, what am I going to write about? How nice my parents were? How nice it was? I mean, I don't know. I didn't suffer. You know, it's like, I didn't suffer here.
I don't know. You practice law. You probably got some good stories, but that would be autobiographical.
It wouldn't be, exactly. It would be, I'd have to call it fiction and tell the truth.
There you go.
You know, I mean, tell you what, I was a young public defender. I could tell some stories about the young public defender's office and the young state attorney's office.
Well, I have to wait tomorrow because the happiest woman is knocking on the door get in here.
All right. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Hopefully, rise and shine.
I'll probably see you on Monday.
All right.
I'll see Robert on Monday.
All right, Henry. See you then.